insight and accuracy. In knowledge of your Son Jesus, we ask that all our eyes be flooded with light. There's no error in our reception, and there's no hint of darkness in our understanding. Let everyone here behold Jesus Christ, your Son, as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Luke's Gospel 24, Paul's revelation of identification, and we have examined quite some details in that. And built a case for it. But look at Luke 24. I want you to pay very good attention. Alright, and he said unto them, verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So we're just going to go direct this morning. So far we said that Jesus explained Christ from the scriptures, that he didn't follow the pattern of using his own experiences or his own personal opinion, in this case, you know, there is, but rather he applied the scriptures to interpret itself. And we said that Jesus Christ is the revelation of the scriptures. We made that clear yesterday. I believe we made a distinction between revelation and knowledge. You remember that yesterday? Huh? Revelation and knowledge. Revelation, knowledge. When you say revelation, knowledge, what do you mean? So, basically, the scriptures are about him. Okay? We say oftentimes that it's Christ's Bible, it's his Bible, so it unveiled him. Scriptures unveil him, they explain him. So go to John 5 quickly, and then let's pick a whole lot from this. And I want you to listen carefully to this narrative. Because apart from the fact that there are things you will know, sometimes there are things you will know, but because you were not listening well, your explanation of them might become faulty because you were not paying attention. And in this instance, to the details of what you were told or taught. So I want you to listen carefully to John. So far, I think we have found John to be our closest ally in the synoptic, right? Right? And you can see why. He's the closest ally. The style of Jesus' teaching that John documented differed from the other three. And we did that a whole lot in this series. Now look at John 5. John 5:39, I'm going to assume that you have been around, so I'm just going to say things that are based on what we have said. John 5:39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have what? Eternal life. There they will testify, but you will not come to me that you may have life. Okay? So it says you think you have eternal life. So Jesus is saying, pay attention please, is saying that the message of the scriptures is eternal life. He said, but you will not come to me. What he's saying basically is that you will, eternal life is a person, okay, not just a concept. And he says, you will not come to me. Now, let's track that term, eternal life. And I want you to, let's read it. We're going to read it. Time should permit us. Let me check what I have here. I think we should be able to read it. Okay, let's start from John 1. We want to track the term eternal life. And listen to how it's used. John 1:1, quickly, because you have to be very fast. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was anything made that was made. And we said that that term, the Word, okay, the Word became flesh, is referring to what now? That term, logos, or logic, is referring to what? Is referring to the word of the scriptures, right? Because that's what he was talking about. Now, the same was with God. All things were made by him, and without him was anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the first statement about life is that in him was life. That's the first statement. And in means in. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 3, 36. He that believes on the Son has what? Has what? Everlasting life. Before we go to John 3, I skipped something, sorry. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but has everlasting life. The previous verse says that he that believes should not perish in him, but has everlasting life. Please pay attention to that. The discussion that led to saying everlasting life was John 3:3. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Then John 3:5. Except a man is born of water, which is the Spirit, he cannot enter. And then he kept talking about being born of the Spirit. And that discussion led him into talking about everlasting life, or better still, eternal life. So, John 4. So John 3:36. He that believes on him has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, and the wrath of God abides on him. He that believes on him has everlasting life. John 4. He meets a woman at the well. Please pay attention here. He meets a woman at the well. And they had the discussion. And he says to her in verse 10, if thou knew the gift of God. Okay, notice that. If you knew the gift of God. Okay, the gift of God. And who is it that saith to thee, give me to drink? Thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee what? Living water. Please be responsive. Giving you what? Living water. Now look at verse 13. Whosoever drinks of the water, this water shall thirst again. Now let's take 14 together. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall what? Be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So that means the water was synonymous with what? Everlasting life. Are you following that? Okay, that's consistent with John 3:36 and John 3:15 and 16. The next portion of scripture is John 4:22. You worship, you know not what? We know that we worship what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Or you can say in spirit, which is the truth. For the Father seeketh sought to worship him. God is a spirit. God is spirit. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit, which is reality. Okay? John 5. I'm going to read verse 26. He that heareth my words and believe on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. So we're tracking the word has. He has everlasting life. Okay. We've read a synonym called living water. And we've seen in John 3, being born of the Spirit is synonymous to what? Eternal life. Or having eternal life. So John 6. There's a whole lot in John 6, but I want us to just stick to verse 35. I am the bread of life. Okay? John 6:35. John 6:47. He that believes on me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. John 6:51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. John 6:53. This is important. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. The previous text in 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven, and if any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. John 6, verse 63. Don't forget this one. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. What does that mean? It is the Spirit that gives life. Pay attention now. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and are life. Okay. John 7. John 7. Verse 37. Let's take that together. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, we're about living water the other time. And he said, he's talking about unto everlasting life. Okay? Now, let's take 39. 39 is must be carefully seen. Let's see it together. Let's take it. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they which believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So, he says, those that believe him will receive what? The Spirit. Come on. Are you there? Those that believe will receive what? The Spirit. The pneuma. It didn't say spirit, it said the pneuma. So, because he calls it life, now he says the pneuma. So John 7, 30, 39, we have, pay attention, water interchanged as the Spirit, and what is received by believing is the Spirit. Is that correct? Is that correct? John 10. Verse 10. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you may have life, okay, and be abundant. That's a better translation. You may have life. John 11. Verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall live. I am the resurrection and the life. John 12. Okay, let's go to John 14. We can skip the John 12 without too much explanation. John 14. So far, he that believes in him will receive what? Let us start from the basics. He that believes in him will receive him. Is that simple enough? Huh? Is that simple enough? Is that simple enough? Okay. He that believes in him will receive him. Okay? Now, he that believes in him will receive what? The Spirit. He that believes him will receive life. And that life is called what? Everlasting life or eternal life. So the question would be, okay, you have eternal life, then you have the Spirit. Is that what he's saying? No. We've seen the word water used interchangeably, either in John 3, and where else again? John 3, John 4, John 7, where the term water is used interchangeably to explain both life and the Spirit. Are we together? Okay. So John 14, watch this. We've studied quite some of this. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. When I told you, I go to pray a place for you. And if I go and pray a place for you, I'll come and receive you unto myself, and where I am, there you may be also. So they began to, the flurry of questions started in verse 9. He said, have I been so long with you, time with you, and thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How seest thou then show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father in me? The words I speak out of myself, and the Father dwells in me, he doeth the works. Okay, so then in verse 17, 16, I pray the Father, and he will give you what? Another comfort, that he may abide with you forever. Notice that, forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because he sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. So, as he advanced his words, right? From eternal life and water, he's now using direct statements that the spirit of truth, because, you know, he told the woman, he said, he shall be springing up unto everlasting life. Is that clear? Is that clear? I think John 7. So, he's using the same words now, and he says the spirit of truth will abide with you forever. He is with you, I shall be in you. And then look at verse 20. Let's take 20 together. At that day, everybody come on, let's go. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Is that clear? But he told us in 17 that he's talking about the spirit of truth, where he says, I, the pronoun referring to him. I in you. In John 15:1, I am the true vine. Okay? My Father is the husband man. Then in verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. So pay good attention. John 14:26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. So, notice, it will bring whatever I've said to you. So, who was teaching them at that point? Jesus. So, he says, another Comforter, he will teach you of all things. He will bring you to remember the things I have said to you. Now, John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I have sent unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me, and he shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. He shall testify of me. We checked that before. So look at John 16:7. Now, unless I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Then he says he will convince, okay? He will convince the world of sin and convince of righteousness and of judgment. Again, where will the Comforter be? I'm asking. Where? In you. So, the work he refers to here is in you. It will convince. So, the life that Jesus speaks of, okay? The life that he speaks of is where? In him. Is that right? So, can we say it's eternal life in the Spirit? Correct? Is that correct? Huh? Is that correct? Eternal life in the Spirit. So, his use of words advanced. Then he calls it eternal life. And then he says the Spirit. Look at John 17. Verse 3. Let's take it together. John 17:3. Let's take it together. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So it says, this, that they may know thee. So that's consistent. Can we also say, this is the Spirit within, that they may know thee? Would that be said? Huh? So we say, eternal life, therefore, will be the indwelling of the Spirit. Or the gift of the Spirit. Like we said, when it says he'll convince the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment, everything is found in him. So our focus should be on what? Our focus will be on the Spirit. Our focus will be on the Spirit. So our focus is where? In the Spirit. So let's look at the word Spirit. We're going to have a long read so that we can lay foundation to conclude tomorrow. Okay. Now the word Spirit, which is typically called pneuma, is either you have the Spirit, a Spirit, or just Spirit. So in the four Gospels, where Jesus taught majorly and where he was described, the word Spirit features 64 times in the four Gospels. 64 times. Matthew has it 10 times. Mark has it 17 times. And Luke has it 21 times. Matthew 10 times. Mark 17. Luke 21. John 17 times. And you'll find it mostly in John chapter 1, John chapter 3, the places we read, John chapter 4, John chapter 6, John chapter 7, John 1, John 3, John 4, John 6, John 7. You can separate John 11:33 and John 13:21. They are quite different ones. Then John 14, John 15, John 16. So you find John was consistent in, more consistent in describing the same Spirit. John 1, John 3, John 4, John 6, John 7, John 14, John 15, and John 16. What has the term Holy Ghost? Features 25 times in the four Gospels. 25 times in the four Gospels. Let me say this just for reference. You don't have to use this. Just keep it somewhere. Someday, somewhere, we'll explain it. The term Holy Ghost is an Old Testament phraseology. Old Testament phraseology. And also the term Spirit of God or our God. So just keep it somewhere. Don't stress yourself. I just said you keep it somewhere. Okay. The Holy Ghost is 25 times in the four Gospels. I want us to check some particular ones. Matthew 12. Verse 31. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven of men. And the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. Whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost shall not forgive him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. You would assume that Jesus is talking about another personality. Because speak against the Holy Ghost in this world and that which is to come. But it's not so. Because that blasphemy is still blasphemy against Christ. You see it again in Mark 3:29 and Luke 12:10. Why the term ghost? Well, oftentimes the word ghost is used for let's leave that, but you see it used for giving up the ghost, for example, to expire. When someone gives up the ghost, he expires. So it's also to speak of vibrancy, or that which, to speak of an active life. That's why they use the word ghost. You see Matthew 27 verse 50, he gave up the ghost, used for Jesus. And then Luke 23:46. They didn't exactly mean he gave up the spirit. It just means he's not living again. It's the word ekpneo. E-K-P-N-E-O. It means to expire. But that's just for mental references. Not exactly relevant. So the word Holy Ghost is used 25 times. So it's used lesser than the word spirit. And then you have in the Book of Acts, the term Holy Ghost comes out 42 times. Book of Acts, the term Holy Ghost is used 42 times. I want you to listen to this very well. 42 times. In Acts of the Apostles. Alright, the term the Spirit is used 24 times. But when you see spirits, but 17 of them will refer to that of God. You have the words the Spirit, His Spirit, My Spirit, 17 times. And this comes in relevant. Paul has it 7 times. The book of Acts. Paul, 7 times. That's the book of Acts. Don't forget 24 times, of which Paul has it 7 times, and 17 other times, no, 10 other times, of which you have the word My Spirit, the Spirit, His Spirit. Now come to the epistles. Please follow this. In the epistles, it's a bit heavy. The term the Spirit is used by Paul 28 times in Romans. 28 times. And we'll have to track that one. 28 times in Romans. But there are exceptions. You have spirit of bondage, you have spirit of slumber. That's Romans 8:15. We have not received the spirit of bondage. And then spirit of slumber. Romans 11:8-9. So that's the two exceptions. So out of it, Paul uses 26 exclusively for the same thing, or the same person, or the same experience. In 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, Paul uses the term the Spirit 50 times. My Spirit, this Spirit, His Spirit. Except on two occasions, 1 Corinthians 2:11, the Spirit of Man, and 1 Corinthians 2:12, the Spirit of the World. The entire 48 times is the same Spirit. 50 times. Except 1 Corinthians 2:11 and 1 Corinthians 2:12, the entire 48 times is the same Spirit. So let's track back. So when you read the Spirit in Romans, except in Romans 8:15, which is just used as comparison, and then Romans 11:8, I suggest you can check that yourself. Spirit of slumber, because I don't know where I was going to say. Then you have 26 times Spirit. Then 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians 50 times, of just 2 times the Spirit of Man and the Spirit of the World. And the two times he uses that is to compare. He was not even explaining. It's just to compare. In Galatians, you have the word Spirit used 18 times. And it's the same. 18. In Ephesians, 15 times. Except Ephesians 2:2. According to the Spirit that now works. Every other one is the same. In Philippians, 4 times. Same Spirit. In Colossians, 2 times. Same Spirit. In 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 6 times. With just one exception. 2 Thessalonians 2:18. Sorry, 2:8. Referring to the Antichrist. In 1st and 2nd Timothy, 5 times is the same Spirit. In Philemon, the same. That's Philemon 25, just once. In Hebrews, you have 3 times. Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 9:14. Now, I know that Hebrews 4:12 is the word of God is quick and sharper. It's very sort of soul and spirit. You know, that's an explanation. So, it's definitely not the Spirit. Hebrews 9:14. The Holy Ghost. The Spirit. Okay? Same Spirit. Hebrews 10:29. The Spirit of grace. James, twice. 1st and 2nd Peter, 7 times. The same Spirit. 1st and 2nd Peter, 7 times. Pay attention to this one now. Jude, once. That's Jude 19. Having not the Spirit. No, I'm not talking about, I didn't say Holy Ghost, though. Right? Make sure you are following. Let's track back it so that you don't get lost. What did Jesus give in salvation? The Spirit. Right? Okay. So, Paul's emphasis is what we're looking at. John. From 1 John to 3 John, the word Spirit is used 12 times. The exceptions will be 1 John 4:1. Try every Spirit, not every Spirit. 1 John 4:1, 1 John 4:2, 1 John 4:3, and 1 John 4:6. 4 times. But every other instance from 1 John 3:4 to 3:24, 1 John 4:13, 1 John 5:6 to 8. I'll take it again. 1 John 3:24, 1 John 4:13, 1 John 5:6 to 8. So Paul has the term the Spirit 121 times or 122. All the other writers put together 22 times. Obviously, whatever Jesus did in his resurrection will be found where? Will be found in the... You know, yesterday we said that what was the mental block for those guys in Luke 24? The fact that they were talking to him. Can you remember? Okay, so, because whatever he gave will be where? In the Spirit. So, are you following this? So, Paul uses that term about 121 to 122 times. The other writers put together. That is, all together, they have it 22 times. All the other writers. 22 times. The Spirit. Now this is important. The term Holy Ghost is used by Paul 14 times. I'll tell you where. Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given to us. Romans 9:1. The Holy Ghost bear me witness. Romans 14:17. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Right? Kingdom of God is righteousness, okay? Romans 15:13 and 16. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12:3. 2 Corinthians 6:6. By the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Then 1 Thessalonians 1:6. And 2 Timothy 1:14. Hebrews has it 5 times. 1 and 2 Peter 2. And Jude 1. Build up yourself on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So, now, do you know what? Yesterday we said that the prepositions, we said if you remove the prepositions, you will have Jesus Christ. If you add it, that's Christianity. Can you remember? Okay. So now imagine the word Spirit. So, the word Spirit will explain location. Or presence of what was done. That is, if you want to know where Jesus is, what he did when he rose from the dead, you are going to look at the Spirit. So that's why Paul will be strong on it. Are you there? Are you following this? Are you following this? Because it can only be by revelation. So pay attention. Let's just look at another one. The term spirits, plural. Paul has it, 1 Corinthians 12:10, the sign of spirits, gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:32. Spirits of the prophets. And 1 Timothy 4:1, seducing spirits. Whereas, in the four Gospels, the term spirits has it 13 times. Book of Acts, 4 times. Book of Hebrews has it 4 times, and I would like to read them to you. Hebrews 1:7 and 14, referring to angels. Hebrews 1:7 and 14, angels. That means, you know, when you use spirit in plural, it's different from the spirit. Okay? Okay. So, the sign of the spirits. That can be the sign of the spirit. Are you there? Are you following? Because you discern spirit with the spirit. Okay? Prince of the prophets, he used that in plural because he's talking about the things. Now, Hebrews 1:7, angels. It makes the angel spirit. Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits? Hebrews 12:9, the father of spirits. Hebrews 12:23, the spirits of just men made perfect. 1 Peter 3:19, spirit in prison. Old Testament folks. 1 John 4:1, spirits. So, what does that show you? For there to be almost silence on plurality of spirits, that means we are going to be talking about the same spirit. Are you following? Are you following? So, it must have a direct relationship with what Jesus taught. Now, another term We don't read out statistics. Hallelujah. This is a statistics session. So our next concern should now be spiritual. So, can we say that Paul was very heavy on what Jesus said he will give the church, or he will give humanity? Was he heavy on it? Whatever Jesus spoke of will be known by revelation. So Paul was heavy. Look at the term spirituals. Of course, this statistic should not shock you. The term spirituals, which means of the Spirit or by the Spirit, is used 26 times. Please pay attention. And Paul has it 24. That should not be shocking. Because the others have not much to say about the Spirit. He has it 24 times. Only Peter has twice, and it's the same verse. You have built up a spiritual house to offer a spiritual sacrifice. So, he has tried. But look at Paul in 26 places. Romans 1:11. To impart into you some spiritual gifts. I told you the word to impart into you means to share with you. If someone, for example, comes to you and is teaching you, since it's from the Spirit, he is imparting. That means he is sharing with you. It's not that he's giving you spirits. Impartation means that he's sharing with you. You are partaking of the same. Romans 7:14, it is used for the law. The law is spiritual. In that context, he's saying it was given by spirits. And we know the spirits will be angels. Romans 15:27, spiritual things. That if the Jews, as they have given you their own spiritual things, 1 Corinthians 2:13 and 15, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He that is spiritual judges all things. So, in 1 Corinthians 2:13 and 15, the word spiritual is used for who? Men. Why? Because it says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. So because we have received the spirit, we are called spiritual. We are from the spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:13 and 15. 1 Corinthians 3:1. I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. 1 Corinthians 9:11. So that 2:13 has persons, 2:15 persons. 1 Corinthians 3:1 persons. Speaking about persons. 1 Corinthians 9:11, spiritual things. If we minister to you spiritual things, is it wrong for us to also reap of your carnal things? So obviously, both the man in Christ and what he ministers are from the Spirit. Is that clear? Paul was heavy on that. 1 Corinthians 10:3-4, talking about the experience of the Jews. It says, the spiritual meat, spiritual drink, and spiritual rock. Symbolic. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now, concerning these spiritual things. It talks about gifts, ministries, in verse 5, gifts, ministries, in verse 5, sorry, verse 4, gifts, verse 5, ministries, verse 6, operations. 1 Corinthians 14:1, desire spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 14:2, zealous of spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 14:37, either as a prophet or that is spiritual, persons. 1 Corinthians 15:44, two times, talking about the physical body. And 46. So he's saying again that in the resurrection, the body that the believer will wear will be from the Spirit. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:5 says, He gave us the earnest of the Spirit. The proof that your body will be transformed is within. Galatians 6:1, if any be overtaken by fault, let them that are spiritual. Why would he say that? Because he had told you in verse 24, they that of Christ have crucified the flesh with the lusts and affections thereof. If we therefore live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Is that clear? Ephesians 1:3, spiritual blessings. Ephesians 5:19, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There's a bad one coming. Ephesians 6:12, spiritual wickedness. I know you know that's not Holy Spirit wickedness. Colossians 1:9, spiritual understanding. Or understanding granted by the Spirit. Colossians 3:16, spiritual songs. In other words, Paul relates what we have in Christ as from the Spirit or in the Spirit. So, his use of that word spiritual is to lend credence to what Jesus said. Everything that we're given. Do you know that he called forgiveness a blessing in the Spirit? Ephesians 1:7. It's a blessing in the Spirit. So, let's now look at the major issue. The term Christ. Christ. With a marginal error of about 5%, the term Christ features, pay attention, we know there's no point talking about the four Gospels. He was there. Do you get it? So it's we're talking about Revelation, so we have to look at Revelation will now be what was said after he left. Are we right? The term Christ features 386 times. The book of Hebrews has it 13 times. Okay. James, 2 times. Serious matter. 1st and 2nd Peter, 28 times. 1st to 3rd John, 14 times. And Jude, 5 times. Why in the 4 Gospels, like just in the 4 Gospels, the time Christ comes out 59 times. And only John 21. The book of Acts has it 31 times. And Paul 14. In the epistles, the word Jesus, sorry, in the four Gospels, sorry, the word Jesus, I'm forced to mention it now. The word Jesus in the four Gospels is used 521 times. John has 250. You know why now? John limited stories about others. Two 50 times. James, two times. That James. First and second Peter, 20 times. John, 14 times. These are the people that were with him. Jude, 5 times. Paul, 214 times. 214. Oh. I said the time Christ. Sorry, in the Pauline epistles, 386 times. That's heavy, right? Is that heavy? Huh? How many times do you have the word spirit again? 121. The term Christ is heavy in the Pauline. The four gospels. Okay, so I said the term Christ. The four gospels have the term Christ how many times? 59 times. And Paul beasts their references times 7 in his teaching. Right, number 7. How about that? Don't exaggerate it. So, Paul taught more about Christ. This is funny. He taught more about Christ than Jesus did. Paul taught more about the Spirit than Jesus did. Are we on the same page? Let me stop here. I'm not fast. This is just rolling out statistics. This is not even Bible teaching. What did you observe? Who can tell me? What did you observe? Nobody observed anything. You were not thinking alone. What did you observe? Did you observe something? Not yet. Huh? Say it now. You know, they said Jesus is four places. He's a king, so you may see the other side that I didn't see. What did you observe? He said revelation is more bigger than that experience. Yes, that's close. Who else observed anything? Imagine what we just said now. Paul uses the term Christ more than Jesus. More than those who documented his life. And he used the term Jesus less. Is that true? Okay. Now, we said yesterday, if all he taught was explain Jesus from the Old Testament, that would be unveiling the mystery of the Old Testament, but that would be revelation. Because Jesus is revelation, but that would not be epignosis. Because epignosis will be to have precise and accurate knowledge. The work of the Spirit of Truth is not to point out Jesus alone. What else? What did you say yesterday? To point out Christ and you. So where do you find the Spirit of Truth? At most, it has to be the Pauline epistles. Are we together? So that means Paul is writing to you. Look at this. He's writing to John. No, that's his spiritual name. I almost said Jeremiah. What difference? Ayo. He's writing to Ayo. And he's showing Ayo Jesus. That won't be any different from Luke 24, 25, 27. Right? So I'm writing to Io. It will only be the spirit of truth if there are prepositions. Is that clear? Are you following this? Should I go over that again? If he's writing to, I'm looking at another name now. Chinwe. Is that a name in the Bible? Ayo is a name in the Bible. Ayo is joy. So if you're about to say, he's writing to joy, spiritual things. What's Chinwe? Don't tell him it, eh? God wants life. I don't want to do that. I want things like Ifa. Oh, good something. So if he's writing to you and talking about Jesus, that is unveiling Christ. Right? Which Jesus did in Luke 24. Of course, not completely, but he did that. But the spirit of truth will take the things that are mine and show it to you. Don't forget, Jesus said, where I am, there you will be also. In that day, you will know that I am in you and you are in me. Is that correct? So, that means revelation will need preposition. So that means our experiences and who we are is based on what? The preposition. Let me see how you know. Let me see how you get this. Did you get that? It will be based on the preposition. Now, what's Paul? Paul used, we said he mentioned Christ 386 times, Jesus 214 times, and of course, you'll find them in the same sentences. But you know something? He used prepositions for Jesus 225 times. So he hardly taught Jesus alone. Let me see how you understand this. He used prepositions 225. Of, by, in, for, from, him, his, in him. Because the prepositions is what brings knowledge. Without the prepositions, you'll be talking about Christ Jesus. With the prepositions, you are talking Christianity. Hallelujah. Because without the prepositions, you will talk about divine, but you will not mention his branches. Without the prepositions, you talk about where he is, not where we are also. Because he said, where I am, there you'll be also. Without the prepositions, you say he is in the Father. Father is in him. But you never say he is in us. Are you getting this? The prepositions explain our experience. And the major general of prepositions was Paul. Vapid Mashah was Paul. John 16. That means, as a Bible student, you must pay attention to what? Prepositions. Ha! Preposition? What were you doing in school when they were teaching you? Okay, John 16, 13. What is the work of the Spirit of Truth? He will guide you into all of the truth, for he shall not speak away from himself. Remember that. But whatsoever you shall hear, so shall he speak. He will show you things to come. Hallelujah. Let's take 13. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I say, take of mine and show it to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will show it to you. The prepositions. Okay, let me do like this. If you remove him, there will be nothing actually in the Bible, in the epistles. If you remove the prepositions, you just have the law. You have the law rebranded as Jesus. But the prepositions explain his relationship with us. So yesterday, don't forget, we said, if what is given is other than Christ, that means the scriptures have not been fulfilled. Can you remember that? He is the gift of the scriptures. Let's run through a few. Romans 8:2. I think I asked a question yesterday that when Jesus was talking to the disciples in Luke 24, was he in them? We didn't answer it. You left me hanging. Was he in them? You are just silent. He was somewhere, huh? Okay. Romans 8:2. The law of the spirit of life. Where? Where is the spirit of life? Good. Verse 9. You are not where? In the flesh, but where? In the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you, if any has not the spirit of Christ, he is none of you. So the spirit of God is called the spirit of that's two now. The law of the spirit of life, where? The prepositions. Verse 10. Who is in you? It says spirit of God. They say Christ. Are you still having a mental block? But he said, the spirit of Christ is what we receive as salvation. The spirit of God is what we receive in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What about rapture? The spirit of resurrection. The way we get the spirit of heaven. Are you there? You have a problem with a man like God. Deal with it. You have a mental block in the man like God. In your mind, you are still having those bedtime stories of God and who is God? He's in the clouds. Not like he has long beard, white. You know. Okay. Let's leave that. So if Christ be where? The body is dead because, and the spirit is? The spirit is what? Verse 14. As many as are led by the, they are who? 14. 15. We have not received the spirit of body again, but the spirit of what? That is of sons. Or the son. Are you there? So are we consistent? The son? 1 Corinthians 2. The demonstration of the spirit and of power. Then you read from verse 10. He has revealed them unto us by his spirit. What is not the seed of God but the spirit of God? Then you go on in chapter 3, verse 16, it says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Verse 16. But look at 6. 11, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. He says, in the name which is by the Spirit of God. Are you there? Let me ask you. If you say in the name of Jesus, and you say by the Spirit of God, is it the same thing? Huh? Or when the name does not work, you use the Spirit. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is what? Is one Spirit. So 2 Corinthians 3:3-5. Now look at 3:16 and 17. 2 Corinthians 3. Are you there? Let's do 16. The Lord is. The Lord is. Go on. So the Lord is that Spirit. The Spirit of verse 3 to 5. The Lord is that Spirit. If you are still having doubt, Galatians 3. Oh, you foolish Galatians. That's the beginning. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Verse 2. Having begun in the Spirit. Why did he say that? Chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Who lives in me? You are saying? Who lives in me? The life I live by the in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave. No, he gave the Spirit. So chapter 3, verse 2, having begun where? Amen. So if you are in Christ, you are in the Spirit. Is it so? Okay, so the Lord is our Spirit. So Galatians 4:4. Let's take it. So if you are you having a polar revelation? You are just looking up and down. And say, what about Trinity? Why are you in a hurry? There is Trinity. There is the Father, there is the Son, and there is the Holy Ghost. Just take it easy. That means you better take it easy. And let's just be going gradually. When we get there, we'll get there. And I'll see you when you get there. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive adoption of sons. Because you are sons, he has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Amen. Ephesians 1:3. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places where? In Christ. Verse 13 and 14 says, we have been sealed, just like chapter 4, verse 30. Look at chapter 2, verse 18. Ephesians. Does Paul make a distinction between Christ and the Spirit? Does he? Does he? But he didn't say Holy Spirit. Just cool down. Verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Colossians 1. So Colossians 2. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Colossians 2. For in him, hallelujah, verse 9, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. So in him dwells what? So when you hear his spirit, the spirit, my spirit, is it one and the same? Huh? 1 Peter 1:12, Peter tried. Those who have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. That's a good one. Peter is saying that the gospel, the gift of the gospel is the Holy Ghost. Great stuff. So, Paul's spirituals is information, songs, bodies, persons, Peter's house. They all come from his spirit. So, you will find the glorified body where? In the spirit. Where would you find these songs? In the spirit. Where would you find the gifts? What about forgiveness? Acceptance? Wisdom? Righteousness? So, we can safely say, Jesus gave himself to us in fulfillment of the scriptures, the comforter. And all that belong to him are in the spirit. So, John 14, verse 2 to 3 says, so where I am, there you may be also. You know, yesterday we said, Paul did not teach imitation. He taught what? Identification. He didn't teach imitation. He taught identification. That's why the writings of Paul unveiled Christ in us and we in him. So, Paul taught conduct from the Spirit, the new bodies from the Spirit, songs from the Spirit, persons, gifts, ministry. So, if I were you, I will pay attention to the prepositions. You can't separate our conduct, our being, our songs from him. Everything that came out in the resurrection is in his glory. You know, we said that. The fact that they saw Jesus and they touched him, that's not, they just touched him and they were eating, they ate their presence, didn't open their eyes to see him. They couldn't look in him. That's the work of the Spirit of truth. To guide into all of the truth. Let's start to close. 1 Corinthians 2. So what else? You know, a dear friend of mine taught this some years back. And he got me thinking. Did you bless his name? He must have been 96 or 7. He said, and he just said it in a discussion when you and I discussed that day. And he got me thinking. He said, Paul. He said, what is called the Pauline revelation? Is pneumaticus. It got me really unsettled. He said, that is the Pauline revelation. The things of the Spirit. So if you are teaching Paul's theology, pneuma is key, critical to what you are saying. The Spirit. So it's funny, he always says, is Pauline. And we don't see him emphasize the Spirit. We wonder, you know, he can't be teaching Paul. Are we together? Because you have to teach the things in the Spirit. It has to be from the Spirit. It has also to be by the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, that's what I think is called the pneuma concept. The concept of the Spirit. You will go to the Old Testament and be looking for that spirit. You know you will find it there. The spirit is a promise in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Are you there? The spirit is a promise in the Old Testament. That's why Galatians 3:14, those that receive the promised spirit through faith. The spirit of the Son, which is the spirit of God. Hallelujah. Interestingly, it's also the spirit of man. Hallelujah. Are you there? Don't be unsettled. 1 Corinthians 2:9 to 15. I have 5 minutes. I tried. Verse 10 says, for God has revealed them, but God has revealed them unto us by his spirit, for the spirit side all things, yet the things of God. Do you know that when he says God has revealed them by his spirit, he started by saying that we have received. We have received. So we know the things of God. There no more, he said, no man knows things of us, but the things of the truth of a man. He said, so the truth of God knows no man but the spirit of God. And here we have received. So every believer, he knows the things of God. Hallelujah. If we teach the spirit more, I will stop all this psychology, entertainment, mixture, and all that. I will focus on the polite revelation. There's no way, just like in Antioch, they said they are Christians. So that was the first time. They said they are Christians. And who was teaching in Antioch? Of course, Paul. Hallelujah. Paul was teaching in Antioch. For the first time, they are Christians. That they bear something. Hallelujah. They bear something. You know, they had said in Acts 4:13 that the apostles, that they had been with Jesus. The way they talked, that they were learned. Of course, that was obvious. They were truly with Jesus. But this was Antioch. They never met him. Hallelujah. He said, this is the Jesus they said died. And they saw him multiplied. And that was a Pauline revelation. A man cannot know who he is outside the Pauline revelation. How do you want to? We just saw the word Spirit Christ. See the information available in the Pauline epistle. I am looking into the four gospel for Christ. There's not much Christ there. Don't be discouraged. Whether it's red letter or blue letter, there's not much of Christ in the four gospels. In fact, there's not much of Christ in the words of Jesus. You can only find Christ in the epistles, and unapologetically I say, primarily the Pauline epistles. Hallelujah. I don't want to say something that will come and crucify me on. So what Paul does in 1 Corinthians, he opens the spirit to you. And we see the things available in the spirit. He opens the spirit. This is what Jesus gave. This is Jesus today, the Spirit. So he says, you will compare spiritual things with the spiritual. The King James had a difficulty there. That's why I say spiritual and spiritual. The challenge is that there was no qualifying noun. So he's saying, what is here is what is here. So the words of the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament are the words of the believer. That's what he's saying. That you can only compare it. That those things that you say about Christ, you say about the believer. Do you understand? Comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. So this information in the Old Testament. You know, I said yesterday, of who are you in Christ Jesus? Who of God is made unto us? Hallelujah. Are you there? So it's the gift. He says, the last Adam is a quickening spirit. That's what he calls him, right? Life-giving. That's where mortality will be subdued. Immortality is in the last man. Look at Galatians 5. You learn something? So the next time you are reading your Bible, pay attention to the word prepositions. The prepositions relate with you. Galatians 5:22. Remember when I first, I think it was January 89, we had this assurance of salvation class. The way they taught the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, Sinai will look at us and say, Even the angel will say, we did not twist matter this much. The brethren, to produce the fruit, we had about 1 hour, 20 minutes on how to produce the fruit. You die. Then I said, the fruit of the Spirit, after explaining the fruit of the love. New converts, they're telling them, love. Do you have love? Don't they just getting born again? You have peace in your life. Are you at peace with God? Is your mind settled? He felt like, please, return me back to the world, I beg. But then they were through with how to produce the fruit. So I got a teacher. My teacher was hamstrung. So you see what he says? Verse 24. They that have Christ have crucified the flesh. You want to crucify the flesh? Tenses. Look at the tenses. Have. Is not shall. Did you go to school? Have. Look at what he said. They that have Christ have. Because he was teaching identification, in your mind, that was done by Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. With the lusts and affections. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? It means the result. That is, having received the promised Spirit. This is the result. So, the man begins to explain the nature of the Spirit. They are found there. They are things of Christ. Hallelujah. So what is he doing? He will guide you into all of the truth. He will take the things of mine and show it to you because they are yours too. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also what? He didn't say, let us walk in the Spirit so that we will be in the Spirit. No. We live in the Spirit, let us therefore walk. So we walk in thee. Where is the Spirit? The Spirit is in Christ. And we're in Him. So I'll close here, finally, by saying, preaching Christ without the prepositions is historical. You are not any different from the four Gospels. If you preach Christ without these prepositions, you are best an eyewitness account, or you are trying to usurp those who are eyewitness accounts, or you are writing for another Theophilus around. But with the prepositions, you are teaching Christ in His resurrection. You are teaching Christ in His ascension. You are teaching Christ in His glory by using the prepositions by, of, through, in. Our relationships are found in the preposition. I'll close by saying, do you know that because of the use of those prepositions, it is going to be difficult to establish Christianity with parables. The prepositions are direct references that speak of who we are and what we are in Christ. Good morning, and have a great day.